In Anaheim, it's ugly. They are winless in 12.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, you know, what's going through the mind of Randy Carlyle? What's going through the mind of a guy like Mike Babcock when his team is in a bit of a rut? Well, we figured we'd try to reach out to a guy who's been a head coach, one of Jack Adams, been an assistant coach. He played in the league for a long time, worked at TSN on Trade Center before.
Done it all.
He's done it all. And he joins us here on Overdrive. Here is Paul McClain. How you doing, Paul?
Good, Brian. How are you guys tonight?
We're doing very, very well.
Good.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show.
What's it like in the coach's room when you've dropped 12 in a row? I don't even know if you've ever experienced something like that. But, Paul, how difficult is it? Like, just, you know what it's like. You're going in there. Nobody's probably getting the message, and you still have to deliver it. How painful is that?
Well, it can be, especially after you've done it 12 times and you've tried to, you know, bring a different message or what you're bringing. I would say it's very quiet there right now. I think you would be doing a lot of one-on-one meetings with, you know, not only his best players, but with, you know, the heart and soul guys, the Elmer, the glue guys on the team that really, you know, keep it together for you and do things the right way for you, really making sure that they're on point and they understand what they have to do. And you would focus a lot of your time on what little practice you have. I would say that you'd really be focused on your special teams, because that can really be the difference in winning and losing a game when you're in that kind of, or any game. But in this situation, those would be trying to set a priority for that day and focus on that and try to get better at that one thing and not try to fix everything at once. That's the worst thing, is to try to fix everything at once, and you can't go in and be barking and yelling, because that's not going to get you anywhere either. So it's really time for a coach to be really focused, and you really learn a lot about yourself as a coach of how you can go in and get to people and talk to people and find a solution for what's going on.
You got to think any member of that coaching staff, they got to be scared, you know what, every time their cell phone rings, wouldn't you think, when you get to that many losses?
Well, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, everyone that's on that coaching staff has been knows how it works and knows how the thing goes. When you get into those situations, it's almost, unfortunately, it could get to a point where they expect it, and that can, you know, have an effect on the job that you're doing. But I know Randy in Anaheim, he's really professional, and he really takes care of the details of the game, and he'd be really focusing on that stuff a little bit more than what the speculation might be. I think he understands the speculation is out there. It's not pleasant to be there, but it's part of signing on for the job. At some point, you're going to have to go through it.
You know, Paul, we're talking about just being worried about, let's say, a manager calling, but, you know, just in your experience, and you've been in several organizations, and depending on the organization, it always seems that as the trouble starts, the more people start to be around. And I mean people above the manager. All of a sudden, the owner's kicking around. And how is it, from your perspective or the coach's perspective, to try and shield the team a little bit? Because now all of a sudden, the manager is putting pressure on the coaches, and you know that above the manager, that ownership is probably having meetings with him. So it's there's multiple layers.
It used to get a little dicey when all of a sudden the owner's on the plane for the road trips, the manager.
Like, and everyone's got an opinion, so it's really tough to kind of manage that situation, isn't it?
Well, it makes for long conversations and really makes for long days where, you know, you're trying to find a solution. Is that really going to be the solution by giving them, like, you can't just say all the time, well, we don't get a save, or our penalty killing isn't good, our defensive game's not good enough. You can't keep saying the same thing to those people, because in a lot of cases they just understand that they won and lost. They don't really understand a 2-1-2-4 check as it morphs into a 1-2-2, or you're going to be in your neutral zone, be a 1-3-1, but, you know, it's going to start out as a 2-1-2, but it's going to morph into a 1-3-1. Like, if you talk to them in that type of language, they look at you cross-eyed, and a lot of times they have no idea what you're talking about. So sometimes the conversation is hard, because the technology or the technique or the tactics, I'm sorry, in the game, sometimes they don't understand them, and that makes that conversation hard. That conversation is hard anyway. I would always make sure that I was talking to the general manager for the most part as much as you could. And if you needed to, the owner needed to talk to you or the president of the team wanted to talk to you, you have to give them that time. But try not to keep it where you were trying to explain, you know, how the team actually plays, as opposed to saying that, you know, players, it's more about their attitude, their fitness level, or their fatigue level. Now, right now in the schedule, it's the fatigue that's a big part of it. You're getting into the middle of January, going into February, so fatigue becomes a factor with every, you know, with the players in the league coming up to the All-Star break. So there's a lot of conversation going on, but is it, the solution, I think, has to come from the coach through his players.
With former NHL head coach and player Paul McLean here on Overdrive, biggest story in Toronto the past 24 hours has been Jake Gardner hearing it from the fans at home. He got booed a couple of nights ago. I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance like that where behind the bench one of your players, you know, is hearing it either via boos or maybe the media's turning on him or what have you. Mm-hmm. But if you were in that circumstance, in that situation, how would you handle it as a head coach? How would you deal with Jake Gardner in this instance?
Well, if it's in the media, you can protect the player a little bit from the media, but a lot of times when it's the fans, that should be a motivator, shouldn't it? I mean,
like, ideally, but yeah, it's always worked that way.
I've been booed. I know I've been written about that you're this and you're that and you're this, but when the fans start booing, well, that's kind of really should get your attention, shouldn't it? And it should really, they're expressing their displeasure with how you're playing, and specifically it's you, that should be a real wake-up call or a motivator, whatever you want to call it. I know it was for me. You try to do something. Make sure you go out there and run into somebody. Go out there and, you know, make it, concentrate on making a good pass. Like, to me, it's the ultimate, I guess, way of seeing how you're playing. If the fans are cheering for you, if they're booing, you're not doing enough. You got to play better.
Well, I think a lot of the fans would agree with that. I don't think there's
It's not all one guy's fault a lot of times either. But the bottom line is, if that's the reaction you're getting from the fans, they're a little bit educated in Toronto, and they've been around a long time, and there's been a lot of guys probably better than Jake Gardner that got booed by Maple Leaf fans over the years.
Well, that's true.
You know, it's
there's no denying that.
Yeah, I think it should be a motivator for the young man to come to the rink the next day and make sure that he's better.
Well, it's a good point. We'll find that out tomorrow night. Appreciate the insight. Thank you for doing this, Paul. We'll do it again down the road.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. There's former NHL head coach and player Paul McLean.